presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I've got a lot I want to do on Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm and what his upcoming decision might be about staying or going when it involves the NFL draft and when we might hear about that. We'll do all of that here coming up in just a little bit. But for those watching mostly on video, radio, podcast, this won't be quite as new to you as it is to us right now. But as we begin the show, we essentially have breaking news as Georgia guard Solomon Kinley has decided to forego his final year at UGA and enter his name into the NFL draft. I'll have more on this coming up in the show a little bit later on, but worth pointing this out off the top right now that Kinley is going into the NFL draft. This is a guy that's been a three-year starter at Georgia. He redshirted in his first year on campus in 2016, so it would have been a redshirt senior were he to return in 2020. He's decided not to do that. You immediately wonder a couple of things. What does that mean for Georgia at its guard spots? We did see this week that Justin Schaefer, who dealt with a neck injury for a good portion of the 2019 season, he is coming back to Georgia for 2020. He'll be a big part of this competition. He, after all, was in line for some playing time before he got hurt. I'll also say that I thought Warren Erickson did a pretty good job in the Sugar Bowl last week. So I think that Erickson is a part of a competition for Georgia when it comes to a starting guard spot here in the future. I guess it's also worth pointing out that we haven't heard any kind of announcement from the other potential fifth-year senior for Georgia along its offensive line, and that's Ben Cleveland. I don't know that we necessarily will. You know, you don't have to announce that you're coming back. So when it comes to something like this, we may not hear anything from Cleveland one way or another. But we have heard from Kinley, now official. You can read more about this at DogNation.com. He is on his way to the NFL. He will forego his final year there at the University of Georgia. I'll have a little bit more on this in the show. I'll also ask Jeff Sintel about this when he joins us here coming up in just a few minutes. Speaking of Jeff Sintel, let's let him lead us off when it comes to talking about the topic that we plan to begin with today, and that's the fact that we are still awaiting. And I would say waiting on pins and needles is not too strong of a way to say this about the future of Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm. Will he stay? Will he go? Is he on his way to the NFL draft? Well, we don't know what the decision from Fromm is going to be, nor are we completely sure when we're going to hear about it. But we did at least learn one interesting tidbit yesterday, Jeff writing at DogNation.com, that apparently a pretty important meeting took place. Here's what Jeff said on the pages of DogNation.com yesterday about the current state of Jake Fromm. Jeff writes that Dog Nation has learned that Fromm is expected to meet with Georgia coach Kirby Smart today to discuss returning to the team in 2020. That Jeff has been adamant that really that process for Fromm did not begin until after the 2019 season was over with. And one of the things that Jeff makes mention in the story of is one of the things that Fromm would be interested in terms of committing himself to one more year at Georgia, what the offense is going to look like. Jeff strongly insinuating that Fromm would like to see some of these same offensive changes that Georgia fans themselves would like to see. So that's kind of the story there in terms of what Fromm would like if he comes back to Georgia for one more year. The other part of this that I think continues to be kind of interesting is, it would almost seem conventional wisdom that Jake Fromm, who may or may not be a first-round pick this year, and you know, at times this season did not put up the kinds of stats that we're used to seeing from Fromm, it almost seemed like conventional wisdom that he would return to Georgia. Hey, leave on a high note, get that team success that I know that he craves, build his reputation for the 2021 draft. It almost just seems like a conventional wisdom type thing that he might do that. And yet, you can't ignore, and I know many of you are like me, you're trying to scarf up all the information that's on the internet available on topics like this. You can't ignore that little string, that little thread of the fact that it seems at least reasonably possible that Fromm really will not come back to Georgia for a senior season, that he will go on into the NFL draft. I'll give you an example of one piece of evidence that suggests that's a little bit of a possibility. 24/7 Sports hearing from Todd Blackledge, who called the Sugar Bowl, hearing from him on a Sirius XM radio show, and the quote from Blackledge here is pretty interesting. He says, obviously he's an ESPN analyst, so he kind of, you know, has some plugged-in relationships. He's in some kind of tight circles when it comes to college football. He says, it's going to be interesting to see what Jake Fromm does. This is Todd Blackledge on the Sirius XM radio show, as quoted by 24/7 Sports. I've heard some rumblings of another potential, maybe grad transfer quarterback, might be headed that way. That's what Todd Blackledge said on the radio, and obviously we know that George would not be looking at a grad transfer quarterback unless it was at least somewhat open to the possibility, or at least on guard against the possibility, that Jake Fromm might actually leave after his junior season to go to the NFL draft. So it seems like there's a very real choice being made here, and it seems like there is some weight on both sides of why he might stay, or in this particular case, why he might consider now the time to jump to the NFL draft. The Todd Blackledge quote there at least kind of gives a little bit of credence to that. Now, when we've heard from Fromm on this himself, he has not offered much one way or another, including before the Sugar Bowl, over and over again, basically doubling down on the notion that this is not something at the time that he'd spent a lot of time thinking about. Here's an example of that from Jake Fromm.
No, that's not something that we've really kind of dug down into yet. Haven't really made a decision, and you know, we'll figure something out afterwards. But right now, focus on the football game.
So let me say two things real quick here on this. Thing number one is, I don't think that Jake Fromm should apologize for taking all the time he wants to take on this. And ultimately, I don't think he should apologize for making the decision that's best for him, whether that's to come back to Georgia for one more season or strike now because of some opportunity that he believes exists for him in the NFL. Fromm ultimately should do what he thinks is best for him and his family, and he shouldn't apologize for that. However, parallel to that, I have to admit, I also don't think I should apologize for being somewhat selfish here and hoping that Fromm makes the decision to stay in school. Ultimately, Fromm needs to do what's best for him, but my honest hope here is that Fromm will see that what's best for him is coincidentally also what's best for me and many of the people watching and listening right now, a senior quarterback coming for one more go at this, one more opportunity to really finish with glory in his Georgia career. And the way that the Sugar Bowl last week kind of plays out, I think, gives you a window in what that additional success for Fromm might look like. A big return to prominence, a big return to the kind of play that we've come to expect from him in his first 2 years as Georgia starter. I think the Sugar Bowl gives you a little bit of a glimpse of why 2020 might provide that before you even get to the notion of, does that now open 10th assistant coach go to someone with a little bit of an offensive prowess, someone who could help upgrade Georgia's offense? Before you even get to that, you know, the whole idea of what's out there with just Jake Fromm and Georgia and its Sugar Bowl performance, I think gives you a real opportunity to see that as a possibility. In fact, after the game last Wednesday, when Fromm was asked about, hey, how did it feel to be out there with George Pickens doing what he was doing, with, you know, kind of a nice flow to the offense, how did that feel to kind of be back in a nice rhythm offensively from a statistical standpoint, better than he had really been in a lot of the games leading up to the Sugar Bowl? And Jake gave a nice answer to that. And in listening to Jake talk about this, it's another reminder for me of why it is that I'm hopeful he does indeed return to Georgia for 2020. Let me let you hear Jake Fromm after the Sugar Bowl from Wednesday.
I think going into it, I think there was a big focus. I think we had probably the best 2.5 weeks of practice we've had all year. I think guys were committed, guys were focused, and we had a really good plan going in. It was an opportunity for a lot of guys to come out and kind of have their coming out party, and a lot of guys played really well. And I think there was a big common goal, no outside, really noise to it, and guys just wanted to come out and play football. And I think we had a really good plan, and we executed on it.
Yeah, and the notion of executing on that plan even further in 2020, especially if there's some new offensive wrinkles, ones that kind of match some of the things that we think that Jake Fromm does really well, I think that's really fun to think about. Now, obviously, Fromm's got different things to think about. He's got his financial future to try to secure. He's got to kind of evaluate with the draft grade he's gotten back from the NFL. And I understand all of that. And ultimately, I wish him well as he goes through this process. I think he should take as much time as he wants to take, at least to the extent that the rules allow for that, and ultimately arrive at the decision that's right for him. However, I'm also pretty clear and pretty decided about what the right decision for me would be, what the right decision for many around Dog Nation Daily would be. We'd love to see the senior quarterback come back, especially when you see how a veteran presence at the quarterback position seemingly benefited LSU this year. A returning starter there, a little bit more comfortable in an offense that also added a few nice new wrinkles, that seemed to be a pretty good recipe for the Tigers. A similar story for UGA, we'll never know, but it's certainly a possibility. With Jake Fromm returning, for Georgia, seemingly anything would be a possibility. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. Good to have you with us live on video, 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Radio Noon, Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, or as a podcast on all the platforms, including the world-famous DogNation.com. Just really glad to have you with us, and really, really appreciative of Engineered Solutions of Georgia for making it all possible. You know, when it comes to waterproofing stuff, you've got water coming into your basement, you've got a damp spot that shows up in your crawl space, something along those lines. or when it comes to those foundation issues, you see those cracks starting to form in some of the walls down around your house, those can be signs of serious problems. And when you have a serious problem, one of the things you want are smart people coming to your aid to help you with that. That's why I trust Engineered Solutions of Georgia, because they have two full-time engineers on staff. So when you're dealing with something like that, you want smart people doing it for you. Also, ESOG offers a fully transferable triple protection warranty on materials, installation, and design. As I said before, they got two full-time engineers on staff as well. The great news is they are really easy to get in touch with as well. To find out more about Engineered Solutions of Georgia, simply dial 678-ESOG now. That's right, dial 678-ESOG now, and that'll get you in touch with Engineered Solutions of Georgia. One minor, I guess, curiosity for Georgia fans who remember last week, that while Georgia was dealing with some distractions of players not playing in the Sugar Bowl and contemplating a move to the NFL, Baylor had its own thing going on with its coach Matt Rhule, who was kind of rumored to be involved in a lot of NFL coaching searches. Well, now that story comes to fruition as Matt Rhule is set to be the next coach of the Carolina Panthers. So for Falcons fans, you'll have him in your division moving forward. And for, you know, folks who kind of wondered how that story might end with Rhule getting so much NFL talk last week, he does actually take the bait on one of those jobs. He is headed to be the Carolina Panthers coach, of course, after they fired Ron Rivera during the season. So kind of an interesting curiosity there on that, just to kind of put, I guess, a bow on what that story was. We'll get Jeff Sintel here in a moment. We'll talk more to him about the latest on Jake Fromm and kind of what he expects from Fromm in terms of a timeline and everything else. Before that, let's go around the doghouse here for a moment. I'm going to try to squeeze in two stories before we get to Jeff Sintel. One of these is prominent and real. One of these is kind of a pipe dream, but it's at least worth considering for a moment. Let me start with Kelee Ringo. Big news for Georgia on Saturday to add another five-star into the mix of the 2020 class. And I would say, arguably, maybe the best single prospect for Georgia this entire cycle. And I say that with all due respect to Kendall Milton, who's a sensational player, and Mekhi Sherman, who's a sensational player. There are a lot of really good players in this 2020 class for Georgia. What Broderick Jones will be once he becomes official to UGA after February. But Kelee Ringo, just given the size, about 6'2", given the speed, about 4'3", in the 40. This is a very impressive young man. And it's one of those recruiting processes that a lot of times we say anything can happen in recruiting. In the case of Ringo, it was kind of as expected the entire time. He was sort of thought to be a solid commitment. He maintained that, at least, you know, the thought in our mind is he maintained that throughout the process, and he ended up signing at Georgia. When Jeff Sintel spoke to him before Ringo made it official during the All-American Bowl on Saturday, one of the things that Jeff asked him last week in San Antonio was, you know, what was it about Georgia when you're on these visits, along with a lot of other guys, what was it that Georgia did well in your mind? And here's what Kelee Ringo told Jeff Sintel about that.
How does Georgia do it that's maybe different than maybe other schools?
Georgia tends to make it fun and also a process like that, you know, when the time's serious and also fun throughout the entire visit. So and also just love it. Also Georgia's a great place, and just like any other school as well too.
Doesn't that kind of seem like what you would expect Georgia to be good at? You know, Kirby kind of knows the way to kind of have that fun vibe. He seems comfortable in his own skin around young people. So seemingly they get the fun part of this right, the slip and slide stuff in the summer and everything else. But also they are kind of about the serious stuff too, because they know these young men want to play in the NFL, and they lay out in no uncertain terms the path that Georgia intends to put them on to get them there. It does seem like Georgia would be good at both of those things. And as I mentioned before, in Ringo's case, this was a guy that Georgia fans had high hopes for joining this class, but were forced to wait a really long time through announcements of top fives and official visits to places like Oregon, overtures from Texas. Was it Georgia all the way, or was there a little contemplation when he would go on one of these other campuses? I thought that Ringo did a pretty good job of being honest about that. Here's a little more from Kelee.
Did you go through phases where it was school X, school Y, school Z? Did you experience that?
I got that a good amount of times. Because going on different visits, man, after you take a visit, kids tend to say, like, that's the school I want to go to, honestly. So, and I definitely felt that throughout my process a little bit.
Also, a funny story. You should go check out Jeff's piece at DogNation.com for more on this. Remember the snake, Brian Gant snake, that Kelee Ringo and his mom were photographed with on Georgia? I guess that led to an NCAA rule change about live animals on visits. This is a pretty funny part of this story, too. You should check that out at DogNation.com. Speaking of Jeff Sintel, before we speak to him, let me squeeze in one more thing here. And honestly, I don't know what this is about, nor do I know where this is headed. But I do think it's interesting for Georgia, who continues to look to upgrade its wide receiver position, and who got got so much from a grad transfer, a wide receiver a year ago in Lawrence Cager. Looking at another transfer receiver this year, certainly it seems like a possibility. A name that kind of pops up here is Tariq Black, a most recently Michigan wide receiver. And if you're watching your screen, you see a tweet from him that certainly looks to be a dog face and dog paws. I don't always speak emoji really well, but certainly seems to be referencing something of the canine variety there from Tariq Black on Twitter. Does that mean Georgia? Obviously, Georgia's not the only dog in college football. For instance, Black is from Connecticut. They are the Huskies, after all. Something tells me that a former four-star receiver from the 2017 class is probably not going to play for UConn. But nonetheless, Tariq Black maybe being a name worth watching as Georgia continues to think about potential transfer receivers. Black, kind of meager statistics, but that's not necessarily indicative of what a guy like that might be able to do in a bigger program with more weapons around him. So file that away. We have no idea where that's going, but tweets like that admittedly will get our attention from time to time. It's Dog Nation Daily. It's presented by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. We'll have more on the Solomon Kinley stuff later on, just into us here. But for now, Jake Fromm, everything else going on recruiting, let's get ready to talk to Jeff Sintow.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
And a great stuff from Jeff Sintel yesterday at DogNation.com on Jake Fromm, his deliberations, what he's going through as he gets ready to tell the world if he's planning on returning to Georgia for senior season or if he is on his way to the NFL. And Jeff, I planned on beginning our conversation by talking a good bit about that. Let me squeeze in one thing before we get there. Solomon Kinley, as we were coming on the air this morning, does make it official that he is going to forego his final year at UGA. He's going to move on to the NFL. We'll obviously wish him well as he does that. And as I said before you joined us, to me, this opens up a door for Justin Schaefer to be a part of a competition for a starting guard spot next season. I think that Warren Erickson really handled himself pretty well by all, at least the best that I could tell, in the Sugar Bowl last week against Baylor. Seems like Erickson did pretty well there, and you've got some young guys coming into battle for this there too. What do you make of the situation for Georgia at left guard and really along both guard spots now that Solomon Kinley is moving on to the NFL?
Hey guys, good morning. First of all, I just hope people will look at Solomon Kinley and realize that, man, he's been at Georgia since the 2016 class. Basically started the bulk of 3 years. He got a lot of film out there, got a lot of tape out there. He's fought some injuries. He has, no doubt, other adult responsibilities in his life to take care of. And when a young man like this makes his decision, really the only thing to do is sit there and be thankful, because eventually everybody wants to hear long-term gains for this program. And it's a long-term gain for Georgia, because sooner or later those draft stories will come out, those draft day stories will come out. And then Georgia's history of putting offensive linemen into the league is going to get a little bit greater with Solomon Kinley and what he's going to do in professional football. So I think that's the main thing. As far as Warren Erickson goes, I mean, he was a guy, we scouted him in high school, and he was a very good high school tackle, could have been a very good college guard. Whenever you move a guy in like that, that's when their skill set becomes even more elite at the college level, and looks like he can do it at guard or center for the Bulldogs. So I think that's, I mean, what Warren Erickson showed in the Sugar Bowl was great. It was great tape. And I think maybe, Brandon, this is a moment for opportunity for Georgia with the transition from Matt Luke. I've been hearing on the recruiting trail for a while now that Matt Luke likes maybe a little bit more mobile offensive lineman, a guy that can get out there on the edge a little bit. And Kinley was one of those guys that seemed more like a tank, an earth mover. Not maybe the most nimble guy there for Georgia. So in some ways, Georgia's offensive line is getting a big overhaul with all these NFL decisions.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And one of the other things I mentioned before you joined us, too, is we still haven't heard anything official from Ben Cleveland, the other kind of fifth-year guy that could be coming back. There's also a chance we don't hear anything from him. He just, after being ineligible for the Sugar Bowl, doing an academic thing, that he just kind of just shows up and keeps going on through. You don't have to make an announcement that you're coming back, but I guess there's at least a tiny modicum of curiosity about Cleveland's status, just given the fact that he was the other holdover from that 2016 class along this offensive line.
Yeah, you could see somebody. I don't see Big Country as the guy that's putting up edits or anything else like that. His edit might just be him on his Instagram account with five ducks next to his hunting rifle, and that might mean he's back for a fifth year. Or somebody spots him at five, or somebody spots him in a class. You know, the main thing for Ben is, you know, he's going to test amazingly, whether it's a defensive tackle, an offensive lineman, when he finally goes to the NFL combine, whenever that time may be. But the main thing you hope for Ben is just you hope that he gets that degree and has that to fall back on, even if he wants to launch into an NFL career or a future MMA career or a future WWE career for the very personable Ben Cleveland.
Let me move on to the Jake Fromm stuff. You reported yesterday at DogNation.com that Smart and Fromm were slated to meet to talk about the NFL future. Jeff, there is obviously, and you know I like the online chatter, there's obviously online chatter here that the potential choice of moving on to the NFL is a legit consideration for Fromm, even though to a certain degree conventional wisdom would almost stand to reason that coming back for that final time and, you know, building on your draft resume, getting that team success that I know that Fromm craves, that final year would seem to kind of, I guess, be conventional wisdom, and yet there are plenty of folks chattering online that they think it's a real legitimate possibility that Fromm might not come back for his senior year, that this might be the time to jump to the NFL. So I guess I'm going to ask the question to you this way. If there is an argument for Fromm going to the NFL right now, for the folks who maybe want to understand that part of this decision process for Fromm, what is the best argument for leaving now to go to the NFL?
Yeah, that's a good topic, because I know a lot of people have their fingers crossed for things of that nature. I think the biggest argument for him going to the NFL is I think it's just a mindset. It's just a feeling that he's done enough at Georgia, and maybe he's ready for a new challenge. And that's going to contrast with whether he just looks himself in the mirror and looks at this season, feels a tone of unfinished business, and maybe remembers the echoes of what Sony Michel and Nick Chubb both did to end their Georgia career with exclamation points and also improve their draft stock, what have you. I think it's a matter, you know, just to kind of boil it all down, the way I look at it, is, you know, you can make the case that, hey, Jake Fromm might be a second or third round pick this year. He might be a second or third round pick should he come out in the 2021 draft. If, you know, there's not a stock surge with new offense, new ways of thinking, more weapons, bigger season. Just look what Joe Burrow did. I think most knowledgeable Georgia fans I talk to would be enthused, maybe thrilled, maybe be dancing in the streets if Fromm can come up with something that's 75% to 80% of what Joe Burrow did this year for LSU in a definite get-right season with utilizing the weapons and utilizing the new blood at the, you know, the passing game coordinator level. I think it's just a matter of why Jake Fromm would go to the NFL, Brandon. I can answer pretty succinctly by saying I was watching an NFL playoff game the other day. Philadelphia Eagles started Josh McCown, who's all 41 years of age, and I believe he was in his 17th year in the NFL, but his ninth different team, and he threw his first pass in the playoffs at the age of 41. He joined Sonny Jurgensen as the only two guys that threw their first NFL postseason pass after the age of 40 years. Only two people in NFL history. You've seen a lot of injuries this year with the Panthers, with the Dolphins, with the Giants, with the Jets. To me, there's still a lot of places in the NFL where Jake Fromm would be an enviable option for what he can do in the NFL, given his skill set, his intelligence, and everything else. I still go back to, you know, Fromm has had his moments where he has not been at his best at Georgia, but look what he was this year with Lawrence Kaser in the game. I think even James Coley referenced that his completion percentage was 71% this year when he had a healthy Lawrence Kaser. I, for one, keep making the statement a lot, Brandon, when it comes to Fromm. I continue to tout and believe in my heart of hearts that I don't think you're seeing Jake Fromm at Georgia doing what he does best. If you ever watch him in a two-minute or in a tempo situation where he goes four wides and he can fling it around and he can attack, that's what he did for over 125 touchdowns and almost 13,000 yards in high school football. That, to me, is always what Fromm did best. And, you know, for the Georgia fans that are wondering what's the best enviable case for Georgia, I mean, I think if you can put Fromm on the Georgia 2020 roster and you could add two freshmen, and I think Georgia will add at least two freshmen who will play like Dominic Blaylock and give the spark that George Pickens did this team this year, I think suddenly Jake Fromm and his quiver of arrows looks a lot better for 2020.
Well, let me follow up on that. In the piece that you wrote at DogNation.com yesterday, you alluded to, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if I'm remembering correctly and paraphrasing appropriately, that you said that Fromm does want, you believe, offensive changes, that 10th opening for an assistant coach, that presumably Fromm would like to see that be an offensive-minded guy and somewhat of a different offense, what we saw from Georgia in 2019. Is that fair to attribute that to Fromm, that you think that he'd like to come back, if he does come back to Georgia, would like to come back to an offense that's upgraded from a just a philosophical standpoint from what it was in 2019?
I think that's fair to say, Brandon. I think the main thing to think about there with all those changes is you got to remember Kirby Smart is an incredible recruiter. So if he goes into that meeting with Jake Fromm yesterday with his A game and his black belt on, saying, I want Jake Fromm back and I want to let Jake Fromm know that we want him back. Honestly, it makes Georgia a top five team in anybody's poll with Jake Fromm returns, especially with that defense. And if there's the sense, and you know, Jake Fromm really is a really smart kid. He's got a good sense of people, good sense of when someone's trying to run a line. But I think if Jake Fromm hears Georgia's going to be different, you're going to be different, we're going to utilize this and that, I think that's the type of thing that Jake Fromm would want to hear. The main thing I would think is if it would have to be encouraging for if Kirby Smart and the Georgia staff is to put a hard court press on him and say, this is why we need you back, son, and we want you to do this. I think naturally Jake Fromm felt that, saw that, and was able to read that was genuine. That would have to go a long way towards him deciding whether he wanted to come back and give it another try at Georgia. Brandon, I think if he comes back and gives it another try at Georgia, I think he cements himself as one of the greatest quarterbacks in Georgia history.
It certainly seems like the Zach Evans saga is over. You wrote this week at the forum at forum.dognation.com they don't expect Evans to end up in Georgia's 2020 class, and that seems pretty apparent as of now. And I guess the frustrating thing for a lot of fans on this is we'll never hear Georgia say a word about this, right? I mean, they're under no obligation to. They never announced him as a member of the class. Therefore, they don't have to announce the fact that he's not there. We'll just know it's sort of officially over and done when he shows up somewhere else. Am I right to say this, that Georgia, Kirby Smart obviously is the mouthpiece of the program, he'll never mention Evans at all, right?
No, I don't know. Maybe 3 or 4 years down the road, maybe it's a 30 for 30, or maybe it's an opponent preview where there's a big SEC game coming up or something like that. Maybe there will be like, man, you know, there's some sort of acknowledgement of the interest in the level of player he was at high school. But I think that those deep down grimy details is, I think, what will probably, you know, stay a little bit hidden. And, you know, I think the world's okay with that, right? And, you know, one of the things I try to do with my reporting and the way I go about my business is when I highlight a young person that is just, you know, excelling and winning at life and that seems like they have the world by the horns and this is a young person that stands out to me, well, that's really the uncommon thing. A lot of these young people, they're 17- and 18-year-old boys. They still cackle. They still do dumb things. They still make sophomore jokes in locker rooms with their friends. And you know, for me and Zachary Evans, I think the way I feel comfortable saying that is there are reasons why that he is not a Georgia Bulldog, why he wasn't announced, why he had several times to commit to Georgia, but it just never materialized. And I'm gonna reference the words of a new friend I made over the holiday break, which, like, you know, 2020 maybe should be a thing where we don't boomerang a lot of thing out into this world. Especially when it comes to Zachary Evans trying to figure out his life and the best steps for his future. So I'm just going to say, you know, there's reasons why that, you know, he's not going to be a Georgia Bulldog, why I don't feel he's going to be a Georgia Bulldog, and that's not the best fit. I think he acknowledged on national television that he still has some things to figure out. And I certainly hope he figures them out, because if he ever gets dialed in and focused and, you know, on a path that maximizes his potential, he's going to be fun to watch.
To be completely frank, while obviously it seems like Evans got some stuff to figure out, I think, to be honest, Jeff, I think Georgia's got some stuff to figure out too, because I'm not going to hold them completely blameless for going this far down the road with someone they ultimately decided they didn't want to take. I'm not telling you that it's the most egregious error of all time, but it is a little bit of an unforced error to get this far down the road with him and ultimately decide at the 11th hour this was not something you felt comfortable with. I think for Georgia there could have been a different way to handle this.
Well, yeah, but, you know, this is a confluence of things. Number one, you've got Georgia having to be very specific with its scholarship count this year and trying to maximize it. I mean, there were times where I thought that Zach Evans was going to be in the class many times this year, and then suddenly Georgia had reached a stage where they were fine. To me, it felt like, seemed like, that they were going to be good with just one running back in the class. And you just make these decisions. I mean, I know you can get here at the 11th hour, and I know the thoughts of Don Chaney, but more especially of Tank Bigsby and Jahmyr Gibbs. All these thoughts are going through everyone's heads right now. You can't tell me if you have the choice between all these players that a lot of people that know what they're doing in this are not going to pick Zachary Evans a whole lot over all these guys. And there was a point where Zachary Evans, I felt, if you just watch him, you see what he can do.
Sure.
He is naturally gifted. There's just a point with Evans where it seems like the risk there was just not worth it. You know, Tank Bigsby made some comments that made it clear that he's really going to enjoy playing Georgia when he's at Auburn.
Yep.
And you know, he has every right to feel that way. But I think we got to stick to the normal things here about Georgia recruiting. Do they want a guy that's going to come in and push the room and challenge the room and bring that room? You know, one of the things I don't think we can talk about on this program enough is the Tank Bigsby, Brandon, is kind of the same player that Kendall Milton, Kenny McIntosh are. I think the thing that made Zach Evans so enticing, besides the fact that he's 6 feet, 200 pounds, can run a 3.84 short shuttle, can squat over 600 pounds with basically no form at all, he lifts with linemen, he runs a 4.5, he's got a 38-39 vertical, he's just dripping with everything you want athletically. And I think that was the challenge that Georgia felt, and there was some contrition there that everything was going to work out and everything was going to happen and fall into place, and this wasn't going to be the case.
Let me try to squeeze in two things before we're done. Finishing up with Kelee Ringo here, his big announcement on Saturday, a huge win for Georgia's 2020 class. Before that, though, a little bit of a pivot towards what's next. Obviously, Georgia's got two big offensive linemen they're holding on to commitments from, hoping to hear some good news on both Cedric Von Prahn and Broderick Jones before it's all said and done here. I guess would you also just kind of give me the rest of the story as we head towards now February and the official end of the 2020 cycle? What is still out there left for Georgia to do?
Yeah, and gosh, I feel like, I don't know, it feels like we have to end up, and I know viewers and readers and our content audience wants to hear it, but I feel like we have to go check on things with Broderick Jones and Cedric Von Prahn Granger all the time, because there's somebody that's has a casual appetite for recruiting, and you know they want to know the latest. I feel, and I said this ad nauseum in the Dog Nation forum, that I feel Cedric Von Prahn Granger is certainly a very strong commitment to Georgia. I think that in Orlando, the Under Armour All-American game only strengthened the bonds there. I've learned that he has more family members that are planning to move themselves to Georgia as well. I think the answer he gave at the Under Armour All-American game was very candid and very precise, where he said he doesn't look at football programs. If he was, he would be committed to Alabama or LSU probably right now. What he looks at is his future after football, the economy, the alumni base. Atlanta has a stronger economy, in his own words, than Tuscaloosa or Baton Rouge. There's just a lot of reasons why Cedric Von Prahn Granger is still going to be a Bulldog. He still should be considered a very stone-cold choice to choose Georgia. I asked him matter-of-factly at the Under Armour game. I said, you know, Cedric, if your team didn't have this tradition where everybody signs together, I said, would you have signed during the early period, even with what happened with Sam Pittman? And he said that was very likely that he was going to do so. I think Cedric was a silent commitment for some time prior to even him announcing his decision in August. I think the same thing about Jones. I think Jones is still a strong part of this class. I think Georgia will very likely hold on to him. I think I said in the forum a couple of days ago, maybe a week ago, that I wonder how that official visit schedule actually fleshes itself out in reality, whether it is, you know, Auburn gets the last one or Georgia gets the next to last one. I wonder how all that comes together. I would think that would be very much subject to change. We're going to write about on Dog Nation today about McKinley Jackson and why Georgia, I don't even know if they have a puncher's chance there for McKinley Jackson. I think the chances there are much stronger for Alex Huntley out of South Carolina. I think those are the names that resonate for me as maybe the best players available. You also have to include DJ Lundy, the linebacker out of Asile, into that mix. Avante Williams, his name will come up. That young man is so sideways, up and down, back and forth on his recruitment. Or sometimes he says he has no idea what he's going to do, and then other times you catch him and he says that he thinks he will eventually choose Georgia. That's what he told the reporter from the Orlando Sentinel after the Under Armour All-American game. I think also Deshaun Edwards out of Fulton County is a name to think about as well in terms of potentially Georgia going back and thinking about a running back for the best player available in this class. You got to remember Georgia's also going to deal with a blue shirt situation with Jared Zirkle, which magnifies that scholarship crunch a little bit, and then also the graduate transfer market as well. I think we have to be forthright. We will have to note that Solomon Kinley moving on to the NFL definitely helps Georgia's number situation with the 85 number and trying to get all those incoming 22 talents onto the roster as well under the NCAA mandated limit of 85 scholarships.
Let me squeeze in this one final thing, Jeff, and you can be quick on this if you want to, because we did talk about this a good bit on Saturday when we did our live video. I think that Kelee Ringo is just as big as it gets for Georgia, a tall guy who runs that way. It's pretty obvious to see what the value is for a guy like that. To me, he kind of just has the look of an immediate competitor for playing time, if not an outright immediate contributor. And this is a pretty deep Georgia secondary, but on paper, I don't know that Kirby Smart signed a better guy in the secondary than what I believe the Kelee Ringo brings to the table. How big for this is Georgia? How big for Georgia is this in your mind? And I guess one of the things I also dealt with before you joined us is, for a long recruiting process where Georgia fans were both confident and forced to be patient, was it as easy as that all the way through? Was this Georgia all the way? And just what does Ringo bring to this class?
Yeah, I got a small soapbox moment here, folks, so bear with me. I think it bothers me a little bit that Ringo was kind of the guy that everybody had pointed to as the got-to-get guy, the better-get guy. I think he was number one on our Hedges list for top targets from wire to wire pretty much, or at least the last 6 or 7 months. It kind of bothers me a little bit that Ringo makes his decision, and he is a bell cow anchor-type commitment for this class. And it's almost like, okay, now what's up with Zachary Evans? And Mr. Ringo, first of all, he's not one of those young men that's going to clamor for attention or his moment or whatever. But I didn't like how the intersecting storyline with Zach Evans kind of eclipsed what was going on with Kelee Ringo. Because Kelee Ringo, I don't know if I saw three players better through 9 days of watching All-Americans at the turn of the year. That I don't know if I saw three players better and that will be a better fit or a better impact for their teams in college football than Kelee Ringo will be for Georgia. I think he is a unique young man. I think he can do whatever he wants to do on the football field. Those that see his size and say, yada, 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 he's going to be 225 pounds once he's a sophomore in college and he'll have to be a safety. I would kind of drop a not-so-fast my friend Lee Corso style on a lot of folks out there that seem to presume that, because I think that Kelee is just such a special player. I think Oregon was maybe not as – well, first of all, Kelee did a world-class job of David Copperfield trying to keep everybody smokescreened about what he was going to do. But I think Oregon was maybe not as big a factor as some folks might have thought. There was a time in Kelee Ringo's recruitment where they basically disappeared for a little bit, where they were off and on, hot and cold. Now, they were definitely hot on Kelee Ringo late, but I think Georgia was a constant kind of throughout. And, I mean, it was this one of those things that makes me scratch my head and realize that, you know, if recruiting was it as it is now, like in 1980, I wonder if folks would have been thinking after Herschel Walker declared on Easter, if they would have started wondering about, okay, what about this inside linebacker out of Villa Ricketts? And so we still have a shot with that guy. What about this kid in Utah or something like that? I just wish folks, I hope folks realize this, and maybe this small soapbox moment has a way to do this. But when it's all said and done, I don't think there's many more than one or two names in this class that we'll look back on that were bigger for Georgia than Kelee Ringo.
Hey, Jeff, good stuff. We appreciate it both at the forum at forum.dognation.com and on the website at dognation.com. We'll look forward to reading a whole bunch more about whatever happens next, and obviously hope to get a chance to talk to you here again on Dog Nation Daily very soon as well.
All right, folks, we'll see you before the Hedges tomorrow. We'll be back.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So Jeff has been very consistent about one thing. His total confidence on Georgia's behalf that it'll get both Cedric Von Prahn to maintain his commitment and Broderick Jones to maintain his commitment. And frankly, I have no reason to dispute what Jeff is saying there. And I know Connor Riley was a part of a lot of that recruiting coverage going back to Orlando last week there as well. I have no reason to dispute any of that. I guess as someone who hopes that SVP and Jones are both in this class for Georgia, I think in the case of Von Prahn, I don't see an obvious second place finish for him right now. Now, there may be one, and if I was in Louisiana, I may be a lot more aware of who that is. But for him, there doesn't seem to be an obvious second place silver medalist contender for him at this time. Whereas for Broderick Jones, and this is based on Jeff's own reporting about this, it obviously seems like Auburn. I mean, in fact, there was, I think, a quote from Jones in a recent story. And as it says, as it stands right now, Auburn is slated to get that final official visit from Jones. That's not enough for me to tell you that I don't believe that Jones is coming to Georgia. If I was going to make my own online projection, I guess it would be Georgia and Jones. But as long as there's that like legit second-place contender and that school stands to get that final official visit, as long as those things are true, I'm at least going to be following this Broderick Jones story to the end. The SVP thing, I'm a little more along the lines of, yeah, at this point in time, it looks like Georgia may have won that. But the Jones thing, until the hay is fully in the barn on that, I'm not quite done with that story yet, and I guess you can decide for yourself how that makes sense to you and where you kind of come down on that. But that's my feeling on Jones, that's a signature, a letter of intent. I am ready to see Georgia have in its possession. That tweet of welcoming him into the class, I'm ready to see Georgia be able to do that when it comes to Broderick Jones. Let's go cruise around the SEC, brought to you by our friends at Royal Caribbean. And I know that this is a time of year that many of you start making those plans for vacations. And by the way, this early winter, heading into towards the spring, it's a great time to take a cruise vacation as well. And one of the things that really makes Royal Caribbean stand out is that world-class entertainment they're able to provide on all the cruise ships. I'm talking about bold entertainment choices like Broadway musicals and the ice skating shows and kind of everything else that kind of goes along with that. The Tony Award-winning Broadway musicals and everything else. Also, the nightclub stuff like the Schooner Bar and Spotlight Karaoke. There's Bolero. There's the sports bar on all of these. Dog Nation obviously loves that. On the Oasis class ships, you have the Aqua Theater shows there as well. Really, entertainment's one of the things that Royal Caribbean's really famous for, and it's one of the reasons why you're going to enjoy a Royal Caribbean cruise. So my advice to you would be contact your own travel advisor or reach out to our friends at the Cruise and Vacation Authority, which you can find by calling 800-326-4971. The Cruise and Vacation Authority at 800-326-4971. Just let them know you heard about them with me right here on Dog Nation Daily. A couple of SEC through stories to get to here for a moment. So Tua Tagovailoa announced yesterday that he's coming back to Alabama. And this is, to me, the only decision. It's the choice that he had to make. He's going to be likely a top 15 pick. You simply cannot turn down that level of money. I don't care what you care about in life. Getting more of that is just easier when you've got eight-figure money. It can change the course of your family's history for generations to come. You've got to do that if you're Tua Tagovailoa, and that's indeed what he did. Ultimately, you know, our buddy Connor Riley and I turned on the TV yesterday to start watching this on ESPN, and you see Nick Saban up there at the podium kind of giving his speech. You know, pretty good TV coverage from this, as I said before, on ESPN. And I realize that not everything in life has to be a conspiracy theory. Not everything in life has to be some sort of like work or ruse. But watching this, I did sort of get the sense of maybe I was duped. And maybe some of these sources close to the Alabama program who were saying that Tagovailoa might be coming back to Alabama, maybe this was all an intentional misinformation campaign on the part of Alabama to get the attention for the Alabama program, give Saban a chance to be on everybody's television set in the middle of the day, and give Tua a chance to celebrate his Alabama career when ultimately there was never any real choice to be made. As I said before, not everything in life's got to be tinfoil hat. Not everything has to be a conspiracy. And frankly, if this is a conspiracy, it's not very... It's not very sinister, but you almost wonder if there was an intentional campaign to make you think there was a real choice to be made. Now, you almost wonder, Well, if that was true in Tagovailoa's case, is a similar thing at play here with Jake Fromm, that the conventional wisdom's eventually going to play out and he's going to end up doing what we all sort of thought he would do all along, and we just want to build some suspense and some drama and get some media coverage out of that. You can decide that for yourself, but that it did at least kind of pop into my mind there. Tagovailoa, maybe this was always the plan, but creating some doubt made a lot more of a media show, and obviously there's nothing the media loves more than a little bit of a circus. That's what this kind of became this week in Tuscaloosa. A couple other things here for a moment. The New England Patriots losing in the wild card round of the Tennessee Titans in a weird way may have benefited an SEC team. Obviously, you know that Mississippi State is on the look for a coach, and come to find out, Todd Grantham's got like a giant buyout there at Florida. Billy Napier says he doesn't want the job. He wants to stay at Louisiana, and if you have a chance to be there in Lafayette, why would you not want to stay there, I guess? So now attention's turned to Joe Judge, who is the special teams coordinator, but he's also a Mississippi State grad. Honestly, this sounds like a pretty good hire. It's a guy that spent a lot of time around the SEC, Mississippi State grad, worked with Nick Saban at Tuscaloosa, been with Belichick there for a while. If Joe Judge walked in here right now, I would not have any idea what he looks like. I don't know if he's old or young, tall, short. I couldn't tell you anything about him. But the resume here, all things being equal, is actually pretty good. So this may be the next coach of your Mississippi State Bulldogs. It may be Joe Judge. Maybe not a surprise they're going in the direction of a guy who has Starkville ties after the outsider status of Joe Moorhead kind of being a bit of a turnoff for a lot of the key boosters there in Starkville. So pay attention to that, I guess, moving forward. Jimmy Hyams, a friend of us here on Dog Nation Daily, he's been with us before, connected to the Tennessee program, reported this week that Lane Kiffin reached out to T. Martin about being his offensive coordinator there at Oxford. And T. Martin, according to Hyams, has turned down Lane Kiffin. You know, doesn't want the promotion, doesn't want to leave Tennessee. He wants to stay at his alma mater. This has a lot of similarities, it would seem, to what was reported last year out of Kentucky about Eddie Grand. This is sort of meant to prove that Tennessee's the place to be and that T. Martin doesn't want to leave even for a promotion. So decide what you want to do with this. But obviously, there's a big offseason campaign now. After admittedly a nice close to the season by Jeremy Pruitt and the Vols, big offseason campaign to kind of sell Tennessee as the place to be. And they're going to try to use this rumor involving T. Martin as an example of that. One person who's apparently not quite so sure Tennessee's the place to be, there was a little bit of online chatter about what would be a red shirt senior quarterback Jared Garantano at Tennessee, briefly putting on Instagram, then deleting the fact that he might be considering making a change, not coming back to Knoxville. Obviously, Harrison Bailey is kind of the hotshot freshman on the way in there. That's going to be a pretty big topic one way or another. No matter who all is involved in that quarterback competition, Bailey being really one of the impressive freshmen incoming to the SEC, you know, is there a chance that Tennessee would turn to him as their starting quarterback next season, just given the fact that even though Tennessee played pretty well down the stretch, the overall results at quarterback, I think, at times left a good bit to be desired. So we'll follow that story during the offseason, and for now, make that cruising around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Engineered Solutions of George, I want to turn our attention just briefly to the Georgia basketball team. And what a terrific performance it was on Saturday, going on the road, winning at Memphis. Really a thrilling game and a terrific win for UGA, coming at the perfect time as SEC play is now set to begin. And tonight, huge TV spot for the Dogs hosting Kentucky. It is late, it's 9 p.m., but it's a real chance against the Wildcats. And this week, Georgia basketball coach Tom Crean was asked, hey, you know, how do you transition from that Memphis win to playing Kentucky here on Tuesday? And what Crean says is he wants to use what happened there in the in Memphis as a springboard for more of what can happen against the Wildcats. Here's what Tom Crean said about that.
I don't know if you put it behind you. I think you build on it, right? And that's the biggest thing. You build on what a win like that does for you confidence-wise. You build on what it does for you spirit-wise. And again, it's we know we're playing an extremely tough team. I mean, there's no doubt about that. The similarities, there's tremendous athleticism. There's a great burst. They play both ends. Memphis was getting 30% of their points in transition. Kentucky's getting 32% of their points in transition. The difference right now, though, is physicality. Kentucky is a tremendously physically aggressive team. They've shot 100 more free throws than their opponent. You know, a sign of a really good team is when you're making more free throws then your opponent, they're doing that. And they just happen to be doing it at 80%, which is we haven't played anybody. We played a team at 79, but we haven't played anybody at 80%. So really, a lot of times with Kentucky, part of their offense, part of the best part of their offense a lot of times is the second shot. Right now it's getting fouled. And they do a great job of driving into you, getting positioning, trying to hit you, trying to get the call. And they do an excellent job of that. They always have. And you've got to be able to deal with that. You've got to be able to keep the ball in front of you. You've got to have verticality. You know, so I can go on and on about the things we got to focus on. But the bottom line is we want to move forward and remember what that feeling felt like, not just winning the game, but most importantly, how we did it, you know, and the toughness that these guys had to have on the road to do that, the perseverance that they had to have to do that, and the belief that they had to have to do that.
So listen, I think that's going to be a great game coming up tonight, 9 p.m. Georgia and Kentucky. I'll have some more thoughts on that. But as many of you are kind of getting together, watching that one on TV, don't forget Kroger, a great choice for you as you get your game watching food and beverage together, whether it be basketball tonight, pro football coming up this weekend, whatever else. As you head towards that new year, big savings at the Kroger close to you. So make sure you check out Kroger. Always great friends of us here at Dog Nation. And I think that what Crean says about Kentucky is obviously true. You know, you think about free throws being somewhat erratic in college basketball, it is still the most efficient shot in the sport, more so than really anything. Getting that free throw line can be incredibly predictive when it comes to wins. Crean also mentioned the physicality of the Wildcats. You know, one of the things you got to watch for Georgia, not the biggest team in the world. Offensive rebounds were a little bit of a problem against Memphis. You've got to limit those tonight. But what a way for Georgia to get the SEC play started tonight against Kentucky. This one will be worth watching. By the way, Gator Hater Updater, 1,165 days. That's how long it's been since Florida's beaten Georgia. We'll see you tomorrow, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Engineered Solutions of Georgia.